We also told him, since he ran his mouth so much, that he needed to, if he's going to talk that much, he needs to get paid for it.
Coming to you live from our studios high atop our offices of North Meridian Street, the blonde bombshell of Indy's talk radio scene.
He was a strange child.
Chris Spangle.
Good morning. This is Chris Spangle, intern boy, on my radio debut. And I want to thank WXMT for giving me the hour to come on and share my thoughts and get my first experience as a radio talk show host. I am pretty nervous. I have to say, after this week of preparing to fill an hour of talking, I admire Abdul so much more because it is really hard to think of things to talk about for just an hour, let alone 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And if anybody can do the task, it's definitely Abdul. So I have been an intern at WXNT for about 5 months now, and I've spent 433 hours at WXNT and have worked somewhat diligently for Andrew Lee and Abdul, and have learned an incredible amount, and this pretty much tops the cake. To have an experience like this where I get to plan out my own show, host an hour on the radio for everyone who's listening right now, which is probably about 14 people, but we're glad to have you with us. What we're going to talk about today is what I wanted to do is, since I have an hour and it's kind of my introduction, I want to introduce you to a couple of young conservatives in Indianapolis. And I wanted to take the time to showcase young conservative thought. I am a conservative. I have different views than Bush and most Republicans and a lot of the different talk show hosts. I'm pretty independent-minded, and I think you pretty much have to be these days. I definitely don't agree with a lot of what Abdul thinks, but we agree on a lot of different stuff. And with me today is Rob Green.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Rob. Rob was the one who did the it was pretty much terrible. It was a terrible introduction, but that's all we're working with here today.
I've got a face for TV, yeah. A voice for radio.
And with me also is Jason Neeland.
Thank you, Chris, for having me on. Look forward to the opportunity to talk a little bit about issues which are concerning us here in Indiana and Indianapolis, of course.
All right. And what we want to do today is we want to have a conversation, and there's three of us here, and there's a fourth voice in this, and this is the voice of the listeners. So you can reach us here at 228-1430, or if you're out of the city, 1-866-440-1430. So give us a call, and if you disagree or you agree and you want to get your thoughts in, give us a call, or you can email me at cmspangle@aol.com. So, and throughout the show, if you have nice things to say about the show, go ahead and email those in as the show goes on. But if you have, like, bad comments, go ahead and save those for after the show when I'm, not on the air and I won't start. I can cry later. But anyways, Rob, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you've done in politics and who you are and why you deserve to be here.
Well, I followed after a long interest in political activism, I guess. It's been something I've wanted to do since I was very young, watching Schoolhouse Rocks on Saturday morning. And when I went to IUPUI, I got involved with a very large campus organization called the College Republicans, and it provided an outlet for me to plug in my resources to the party and try to make a difference in local government here on in our city, in our state, and also nationally. And through that experience, it allowed me to hook up with a city councilor that was talked about probably a lot with several of the issues we'll be discussing today, Scott Keller. And I was able to run his race and kind of gain some experience into the political scene by working for him.
Okay. You were actually his campaign manager, and that's the race. He's in the 16th district where – how many votes did Scott win by?
Supreme Court eventually ruled by about three votes.
Three votes in a 70-30 Democratic area in a – what are those things called?
District.
Yeah, sorry. I totally forgot. Okay, Jason, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself now, too?
Well, I came to Indianapolis about 2 years ago and just had the opportunity through some interests, of course, like Rob was sharing in the political scene. Of course, I've always thought and maybe desired about being in public service myself, but was actually given the opportunity through the Republican caucus to help out on some races all over the state. Worked on some races here in Indy, Terre Haute, down in southern Indiana. It was a very rewarding experience, of course, to see the Republican majority take hold after hard work by so many folks. And so as far as my political experience, that about sums it up, helping out the House Republicans. And their big win played a small part in that, and that was very rewarding. And look forward to staying more engaged on the statewide level. But, of course, Indianapolis politics here where I live are also close to my, I guess, I don't know if I'd say close to my heart, but definitely I keep a close eye on it, I should say. So.
Okay. On the agenda today is we're going to start out with the smoking ban. The smoking ban comes up for a vote tomorrow night in the City County Council. And in case you've been in a hole, the smoking ban would basically include, it would ban smoking in restaurants, and it has created an exemption for bars and taverns, allowing smoking in those establishments for the most part. Bars that are within the restaurants would be smoke-free. So basically, every restaurant would be smoke-free. Every office building would be smoke-free. You can smoke out next to a hot dog vendor for some reason. But I guess if you're going to a hot dog vendor, you're not really worried about, you know, your health and safety. I mean, all bars, if you have to be 21 to get in, you are allowed to smoke. Basically, I have a problem with this. It's not that I have a problem with it. It's that the smoking ban basically takes the principle. Okay. Restart. Reset. Let's rewind the tape here. Can we cut that out, Scott? Wait. It's live. Never mind. Anyways, so basically, in principle, I have a problem with the smoking ban for the following reason, is that it's basically taking what someone finds aggravating and it makes it illegal. People are using the government for their own selfish ends. And what I want to talk about today is selfishness and government and, you know, society as a whole. We're going to get pretty philosophical, so buckle up. Let's talk about the smoking ban a little bit. What do you guys think about the smoking ban, first of all?
What disturbed me the most was that originally when it came out, it was one of the strongest smoking bans to ever be introduced in any metropolitan area across the country.
Right.
And until a few people finally whittled away some of the, I think you weren't allowed to smoke within, 60 feet of a ATM and things like that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard it, but when I was on Abdul in the morning, he had me go down to the Circle and stand 60 feet in front of Nikki Blaine's and some other radio stations and walk 50 feet away from the building. And you had to smoke in the middle of traffic, basically. It was just, bad.
Absurd, I think, is probably a good word. the smoking ban, I think, just like anything else, I think most conservatives or libertarians especially use the government or view the government as force to be reckoned with, of course, but they try to keep that force at bay. Whereas a lot of more liberal-minded or folks with a more socialist perspective on their community.
You had to go there.
Well, for lack of better words.
Been on the air 5 minutes and you're calling liberals socialists. Sorry.
Well, I, for lack of a better word, I just think that they use the government, like you said, Chris, to justify different ends that they're trying to reach, whether it be to ban smoking, whether it be to tell people how to raise their kids, whether it be to tell people where they can and can't go. And they see government as an applied force to get what they want, whereas we are more concerned about the rights. This is what we have right here. The government can't mess with that. And we want to protect those. Sometimes I think it's in any organization's nature to grow, to become larger and more powerful, and the government's no different. Mm-hmm. But we have to be super careful as we talk about these issues that, you know, you don't want a tyranny of the majority at the same time. You can't have our rights just continue to slide away.
Right. And I would agree with that. first, we're running out of time, so I need to take a break. Before we go, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. You guys want to?
Absolutely. Happy Mother's Day, Mama Neeland.
So Happy Mother's Day to my mom. She's the reason I'm here today.
And if she knew you were in talk radio, she would have smothered you years ago.
Probably. Well, I mean, basically, when I was a little kid growing up, I was just a camera hog. I was always talking. I would never shut up. And in honor of Mother's Day, we actually included the clips from Friday's Abdul show where Abdul's mom and Andrew Lee's mom were on. And that was kind of my Mother's Day tribute to their moms. As a thank you, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure she's proud of you.
That was kind of weird and convoluted, but I think that's how the show's going to go. So we're going to take a break now. We'll be back in about 4 minutes and for more broadcasting excellence, as you can hear.
Abdul in the mornings, weekdays from 6 to 9 on News Talk 1430. WXMT.
Yeah.
You guys are such amateur radio broadcasters.
Novice. Yeah, I'm digging the bumper music here.
I know, it's great. Love Bang. That's who the intro was. That was Bang. We're back here. This is the Chris Spangle Show, or something resembling a show. We are talking about the smoking ban. Soon we'll be talking about the DMV closings, education, and the line between personal individuality in government and the common good. So stay tuned for that. That'll come up here real soon. First, I want to talk about the smoking ban a little bit. You know, here's how I feel about it. All right, I kind of feel that it makes sense because I'm not a smoker. I don't like smoking, but...
Chris, before you go down this road, could you pass me that pack of Pall Malls in your pocket there?
Yeah, hold on just a second. My unfiltered. But I don't smoke, but I don't like smoke either. I hate the smell of it. I hate it when it gets on my clothes. I just, you know, it's disgusting. And the ban, see, I'm conflicted on it. Because while I don't want to have to deal with the smoke, I don't want to have to smell the smoke when I'm in a restaurant. I was eating at Cracker Barrel the other day, and I asked for non-smoking, and they sat me right next to the little plexiglass shield with the lattice in between us. And it's still, you know, everything is just filled with smoke. You know, you still smell it. Even though you're in the non-smoking section, quote-unquote. You know, so it will be nicer to go out to a restaurant and not have to deal with the smoke first. But just because I don't like it, do you think that gives me the right to go to someone else and say, no, you can't smoke?
Well, I think Jason said it best when he made his point that this is a classic tyranny of the majority. We have a majority of people that want to impose their will on a minority. And the fact of the matter is, bars and restaurants, like most businesses, are market-driven. If there were enough of an outcry of people that said, we're not going to patronize your restaurant or bar anymore because it's filled with smoke, then they'd probably go elsewhere. And the owners and the managers would be forced to, you know, it's the invisible hand of business here that would come into play.
The market takes care of itself. And if you go to Smoke Free Indiana, one of the two, you can still... You can find 1,500 restaurants that are smoke-free, and they're not fast food restaurants. They're not, I mean, they're like legitimate restaurants within Marion County.
Well, it disturbed me to see places like Nikki Blaine's, whose entire, I mean, their whole shtick is that they're a cigar and martini bar. I mean, mm-hmm. You take that out, I mean, what are they? They're just another.
So what do you guys think, now that they've made the amendments, now that kind of, you know, there's been an outcry, what do you think the effect on business is going to be since they've excluded bars and they've excluded kind of the places where most people want to go to smoke and play pool and drink? Do you know, you guys frequent bars a lot. so you guys are
well,
experts here.
I would say this, Chris. I have not read the language in these bills or these proposed measures that they'll be taking as far as the smoking ban goes. But what I do know is that there's always a loophole. Mm-hmm. Fort Wayne passed something similar than this recently within the past few years. I was up there probably a week, 2 weeks ago, went into I think it was a regular chain restaurant, either an O'Charlie's or a Red Lobster or something like that. Anyways, I went in and they had glassed in their bar. It was completely glass ceiling to the floor.
You mean like
completely
you,
glassed
like
in?
Like the bar was glassed in.
The bar was completely glassed. You had to walk through a glass door.
It was like a drinking aquarium.
Basically. I mean, it looked like these people were quarantined, as if they had, as if smoking was some kind of leprosy or something. Anyways,
it's a smoker's zoo.
Yeah. The point of it in saying all this is that there's ways around this. I don't know if there's going to be that kind of a loophole for restaurants and bar and grill establishments in Indianapolis, but I'm assuming there's going to be some way around it, whether it be that, whether it be people changing the status of their restaurant to a private restaurant and making people sign a membership card when they come in. It's just a lot of hubbub about nothing, I think. If somebody wants to have people smoking in their establishment, it seems to me they'll be able to figure out a way to get it done.
Right. And, Sorry about the squeaking. This chair needs oil. You would think that at a radio station, the chair wouldn't, squeak. But anyways, maybe
these chairs probably get a lot of workouts. I mean, I've seen a lot of people sitting around here today.
Oh, that's nice. Appreciate that. And the other thing that bothers me about this is that if smoking is so bad and it's so dangerous to our health, and I think I saw on the Marion County Health Department, like 24 to 26% of Hoosiers and Marion County residents smoke. And if it's that bad, if it's that bad of a product and it's costing us as much as the proponents of this ban say, then let's ban it completely. Let's just not sell it in Marion County. Let's not let people smoke at all in Marion County. And most of all, the government shouldn't continue to take revenue from cigarettes and cigarette taxes.
Yeah, it's definitely a two-edged sword there. They want to point and call out all these folks who smoke and then at the same time are got their hand in their wallet for the money that they're spending on these cigarettes. Rob, I know you had a point to make about that.
Well, I just don't see much to Chris's point. I think he's trying to touch on people in government almost want to mother and do what's best for the constituency. I don't understand where was the outcry from the business community. How is this going to help our business community? From what I've heard, I mean, I know this is probably not mass behavior, but people who want to smoke and go to a bar, if you live on the north side of Indy, why don't you just go across the border and take your business elsewhere from a bar? I mean, I see that as being a big downside economically for the bars here. Because if you go to some of the bars, I mean, Working Man's Friend, the Ice House, some of the more blue-collar bars, mm-hmm. They're not concerned about smelling like smoke. They come in there, they got out of the factory, they probably smell like the other things they've been working around all day. Right. And breathing in that air is more of a release, and I don't see where they're going to be all up in arms.
Once again, you're listening to the slowly improving Chris Spangle Show here on WXNT News Talk 1430. If you want to get in on the discussion, then please call 228-1430 or 1-866-440-1430. We want to hear from you what you have to say while you're on your way out to Cracker Barrel, sit in a non-smoking section and with your moms. So I was looking at the smoke-free Indiana section where they're talking about secondhand smoke, and I want to talk about the health effects here for a second. As I look at these statistics, secondhand smoke in children also causes bronchitis, middle ear infections, and then it goes right to death, And a lot of these, I'm sure that if you're trying to convince me to ban smoking in Indiana or ban smoking in Marion County, basically, cite your sources. And the only source that you cite is the EPA study from, the early 90s, which was basically just a meta study of other studies. It wasn't an all-inclusive study, first of all. What do you guys think about that?
Well, statistics themselves can be molded to basically fit any idea or ideology you're trying to get across. I'm not a big believer in statistics, especially as they're used in politics most of the times. And that takes you right back to what you were saying earlier, just because there is a majority of people saying this. I mean, there's so many harmful things. Goodness gracious, I don't know the statistics, but how many people get killed in motor vehicle accidents? I don't hear anyone screaming from the top of the mountains that we, all travel by foot or by train or whatever. I mean, unfortunately, we live in a world where people have to make decisions. Sometimes people make poor decisions, and what we can't control, which is what this is really about, is having control over the environment that we're in.
Okay, quickly before we go to break, let's take a call from Dave Show of Chris Spangle here on WXNT 1430.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. This is the first time I've ever been on the radio.
Really? Congratulations.
That makes three of us.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever talked on the radio for more than 2.5 minutes. So.
Well, there you go. I called in because, you know, I've been listening to talk radio for a long time. I listen to Abdul in the morning, and we're coming back from a canoe trip, and we got 1430 on. I'm hearing you talk about the smoking ban.
Mm-hmm.
And my question has always been, if they're so worried about our kids being exposed to cigarettes, why are they being sold in convenience stores right on the counter for the kids to see them every day? Why aren't they sold in liquor stores?
They aren't sold in liquor stores. You guys would probably know the answer better than this. But.
No, they are sold in liquor stores.
They are? Okay.
You want to limit them to liquor stores and places like that where...
Obviously, you don't go to liquor stores.
No.
Well, I think, David, you make a valid point in saying, you know, are there other options besides literally telling someone what they can and cannot do with their own body? I mean, it's so extreme, and a lot of people don't look at it through that scope. But the fact of the matter is, someone is literally telling you what you can and cannot do and can and cannot put in your own body within a certain place or time limit. Well, but it's just a stepping stone. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, California – or in certain areas of California, you can't basically smoke anywhere outside your house.
And I think a lot of what David's talking about, too, is... Okay. It's snowing down by the canoe trip. Anyways, and I think the other thing is there's a lot of the Margaret Mead mentality. You know, you tell your kids... She was testifying before Congress in the late 60s, saying, you know, we tell our kids not to do drugs, we tell our kids not to drink, while we're saying that with a cigarette in one hand and a martini in the other. You know, if we really want to protect our kids, then you can't tell your kids not to smoke with a cigarette in your hand. We have to go to break real quick. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Chris Spangle Show here on News Talk 1430 WXNT.
Get all the info on your talk station online. Newstalk1430.com.
Newstalk1430 WXNT. You're listening to the Chris Spangle Show here. If you want to get in on the conversation, 228-1430 or 1-866-440-1430. We're talking today about the smoking ban, the BMV closings, education closings, and selfishness in government and the like. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, I want to go to Kenny in Indianapolis. Kenny, you're on the Chris Spangle Show. Thank you for joining us. Kenny?
Yeah, this is my first time calling also.
Great.
Like the previous caller. And my only concern is that we have lobbyists coming in from all over the country and in Indiana fighting this ban. For the regular people out here that do smoke, which I am not, I'm a non-smoker myself, but they have no chance in fighting this prohibition of smoking in the restaurants and such. I think that it ought to be put on a referendum so they can vote. Most people are probably 98% of the smokers in this to come in and go to the lobbyists and just vote against this thing. So if it put on a referendum where they go somewhere on it, I think it would be the most fair thing to do.
All right. Well, Kenny, thank you for your call. You're dropping out there just a little bit. We live in a representative democracy. So I think for the most part, you have the right to go and talk to your counselor and give your opinion. Do you think that this, in general, I mean, controversial issues – such as the smoking ban, the Indiana Gay Marriage Amendment, do you think that those should be up for a referendum, or do you think that they should be, you know, we should respect the representative democracy? That was kind of a loaded question, but.
Well, are we actually getting represented? I speaking for myself, I live here on the north side, and my city county council member is the one actually behind this smoking ban. And if I called her up and 50 of other of my neighbors called her up and voiced an opinion saying, you know, we want to protect our smoking rights, not that I'm a smoker, but if we want to protect those rights, or say it's 50 businesses, would she really have an ear for that? You know, I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, I was so upset seeing some of these counselors come out of the woodwork and say, we need this smoking ban because I go into a restaurant and I have to breathe this smoke. Well, I mean, I seriously doubt my city county council member is going down to the Ugly Monkey or, you know, Ike and Jonesy's hanging out in a bar on a Friday night, you know, tipping back a few beers and lighting up, because I don't, I think it's just kind of a, it's kind of a smokescreen for, you know, not to be.
Well, not to go spin off in a whole different galaxy, but you're saying, you know, as we call, as we try to be involved, talk to our legislators or our counselors in this instance and say, hey, there's serious concern out here about restricting personal freedom, things of that nature. You look no further than, once again, in this district on a statewide level with the daylight savings time. And I believe a state representative in the same district that we're in right now actually switched his vote on the daylight savings time for purely political reasons. Mm. And when you're dealing with that kind of partisan behavior and selfish motives with some of these folks, it's hard to get any real clear message through, I think.
Okay, you're listening to The Chris Spangle Show, 228-1430. With me are two other young conservatives, Rob Green and Jason Neeland. John, we'll, I know you've been waiting patiently, but hold on just a second. I want to take a special guest, the man, the legend, Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
Mr. Spangle.
How's it going, buddy?
I can't believe I'm 250 miles away listening to you over the internet.
I know. I can't believe that I'm sitting in your chair.
Neither do I. So that squeaking sound is the pressure of so much genius being in that chair.
Oh, thank you. Thank
five
you.
5 days a week. So, no, I just had to, you know, just give you kudos for, you know, your first time on the air as a talk show host. So you're doing fine.
Thank you very much. Would you like to give a professional critique?
No, because I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh. So I don't get to fill in for you?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Let's look at it like this. You're kind of like that. You're kind of like Wesley Crusher from Star Trek: The Next Generation. Eventually, you'll be captain of the Enterprise, but not while I'm here,
and not while anyone's watching.
Right.
Well, I do have to say that it's now that I'm here and I'm talking, and you know these guys are here and we're getting phone calls. It's not as bad, but that first 15 minutes was just like, oh man, if nobody calls, if I can't. It's actually harder than it looks.
Of course it is.
So.
No, the thing is, no, why it looks so easy is because I'm great. But no, the easier something looks, the more work and effort goes into it, as you are learning, young man.
Yes.
And just a quick FYI for tomorrow's show, for those 15 people who are now listening, is a couple things. We will be talking about the smoking ban from the restaurant's perspective, because we've got somebody from the Indiana Restaurants Association coming on as well. Also, looks like Indianapolis and Marion County may start writing tickets for people who swim in those detention ponds in the wake of the 7-year-old boy's death from the south part of town. So we'll talk about that tomorrow as well, with a whole bunch of other things too. But young man, this is your show. This is your hour. I'll give you the chair. I have to go do more research this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Abdul. Nice to talk to you. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right. Way to plug your own show.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Abdul. So, but he's make sure you listen tomorrow. Make sure you listen 5 days a week from 6 to 9 in the morning to Abdul. He is by far the record of politics in Indianapolis. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. And he's not beholden to either ideology or political party,
no,
which
he's
makes him
not
a breath of fresh air.
He's
absolutely
just beholden to Abdul. John, you're on the Chris Spangle Show here on News Talk 1430. What's your opinion on the smoking ban?
All right, hey, Chris. First, let me say that I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And if Abdul was going to critique your performance, it had to be good.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Great. One of the things that I don't hear anyone ever refer to is, I heard you talk briefly about that EPA study.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a court case, a federal court case, and that EPA study was like the center surrounding the case. And the judge in that case found that the study was based on very spurious science and that the EPA had actually predetermined the conclusion they wanted to come with. So kind of what we end up with here is junk science fueling fear and outcry to ban this smoking due to secondhand smoke, which is not even scientifically proven to cause any problem to anybody.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you. I about 3 or 4 years ago, I was kind of like, all right, how I know that smoke in the air can't be helpful, but I had just gotten out of physics class, and I was 18, so I thought I was the smartest kid ever. Close. But in physics, when you have smoke in the air, there's other air particles. And when you release something into a room like a gas, it expands and wants to equalize with everything else. So smoke is no different than that. So secondhand smoke has to danger of secondhand smoke. So I looked it up. And I want to give a website, and it talks about what you're talking about. And, you know, this is just one of the studies that it talks about, the World Health Organization study, which said that secondhand smoke poses real danger. And the EPA report said that they pose no real danger. But you have to keep in mind that these two studies are probably about 5 to 7 years old, and there has been research done since. But we still have to take a look at all the facts about secondhand smoke and make our decision that way. Because what we have on the Indiana Smoke-Free website is we have statistics that aren't really statistics. They're just people smoke. Indiana has a 50% higher rate of lung cancer than the rest of the United States. And all of this is based on not very unscientific evidence, it looks like to me. So the website is www.davehitt.com. One word, davehitt.com/facts. So check it out for yourself. Look those up and then do another search to find out if that's really the case. Thank you for your call, John.
Hi, no problem.
Okay. So I'm not buying it just yet, you know, and I think that that's, if before the counselors vote on this tomorrow night, they need to take an honest look at secondhand smoke, because there's very little information out there against secondhand smoke. But there seems to be two sides of the story. Just one doesn't get as much press. But let's go to Joe in Indianapolis. You're on News Talk 1430. Well, thank you. Joe? Hello, you're on the Chris Spangle program.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Why, on this issue of smoking or non-smoking, cigarettes is an insecticide. And if you think that insecticides are good for your health or do not harm your health, why, just look up and see what insecticides are for. The toxins in our air, food, and water is destroying the United States. We were in 18th place for rated health, the place where we were at a few years ago, and now we're in 27th place.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
If we can, I'm looking at the health issue, and the government may be looking at the political issue, or because the they get tax money from cigarettes and things of that sort.
Right.
But I'm looking at your health is more important than money. That comes first. And it's a fact that smoke or secondhand smoke, I'm a non-smoker, but I don't like breathing secondhand smoke, and that is interfering with my freedom to have my own personal health when I've got to breathe smoke or around it, and there oughtn't to be any issue. They ought to issue non-smoking in all buildings, just from the health standpoint.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. We're up against a break real quick.
Oh, okay.
So we'll discuss that when we come back. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Chris Spangle Show here on WXNT News Talk 1430. You can call in and weigh your opinion at 228-1430 or 1-866-440-1430. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Chris Spangle Show here on News Talk 1430 WXNT. If you'd like to call in and get in on the discussion, 228-1430. With me is Rob Green, another young conservative mind, as is Jason Neeland. And we're talking about the smoking ban today here for just a couple more minutes for a couple more calls, and then we're going to wrap up because I only have an hour unless by some miracle Andrew calls in and says you can go ahead and run the station. So let's go to Jennifer in Indianapolis. Jennifer, you're on the Chris Spangle Show. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Jennifer from Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to make a comment about the smoking ban.
Uh-huh.
And if people are so worried about the chemicals that are found in secondhand smoke, perhaps they should go out and ban those chemicals, because then they'd have to ban motor fuel, cigarette lighters, toilet cleaner, gasoline, just about anything else. So obviously they can't be too worried about those chemicals if they're found in so many other household goods and products that they use on a daily basis.
All right. Thank you, Jenny. And Rob says hello. And Jason, would you have a follow-up comment on that?
Oh, I mean, she makes a valid point. Once again, I mean, the fact of the matter is we just like to pick and choose. And like you said at the beginning of the show, Chris, so much of this is just I'm selfish. I'm eating my double bacon burger, and I can smell a hint of smoke from across the bar. And
careful now.
Well, I think you understand our point. I think we've made it pretty clear, though. This is really just, you know, an idea that was brought up. It's picked up some steam, and it's, like you said, seemingly a one-sided issue, although I think there's several people out there that don't like it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It'll be interesting to see what's coming next down the pipeline for what they're going to ban next. I mean, after that whole Super Size Me documentary, I mean, if people drive by a White Castle and, you know, smell the steamy aroma of a nice White Castle burger, I mean, are they going to say, oh, you know, I don't want to, can't breathe in that air either.
Let's not start talking about fat people now, all right? Okay. Brian in Edinburgh, you're here on News Talk 1430 on the Chris Spangle Show. How are you today?
Chris.
Hi.
Great show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm not a smoker, but I support the right to freedom. This is a freedom issue.
That's right.
The ban on smoking is purely unconstitutional. I say to these people that hate freedom and hate the right to make your own decisions, they need to go live in China, communist China.
Wow.
Nobody forces anybody to go into a restaurant or any place where there's smoking. They have the right to choose, which is another freedom. If they don't like these freedoms, they need to get out of America. We need to support whatever freedoms there are. And this is just one in many, many steps to take our freedoms away. And this is a great opportunity for the policymakers, the politicians, to use our budget, our pitiful budget that we've had the last few years, as an excuse to steal money from people. This is extortion, to take money from people and steal their freedom.
Well, the
more government control, we don't need it. If our fathers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers were so terrible years ago, they should come out and say it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brian. Next up is Jay in Greenwood. Jay, you're on the Chris Spangle Show here on News Talk 1430 WXNT.
Yeah. Hi. You got a comment about the smoking ban?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about it being a right and that it's a violation of rights. Well, you know, first of all, I think smoking is a bad irritant, and I don't appreciate it at restaurants and things like that. Bars, you kind of expect it, but at a restaurant, it's kind of obnoxious to have to put up with it. Just as, you know, I'm not allowed to go in and just start singing. I think that might be a bigger irritant than smoking. You wouldn't want me to come up to your table and start singing to you. You know, I may have the right to sing, you know, in public. You know, people talk about rights to smoke and things like that. You don't have a right to do things, you know, that irritate people. And I think smoking is just a big irritant. And at restaurants, I would appreciate it if it was banned. But bars and stuff like that, I go in at my own risk. You know, if I want to drink and be around smoke, that's my choice. But I think at a restaurant and maybe public-owned buildings, it should be banned.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
real quick.
Well, something that Abdul was saying earlier, and I guess you'll talk about it more tomorrow, but where are the rights of the restaurant owners in all of this? I mean, this gentleman just said, you know, I prefer, I want this, I want that. I would prefer there not be smoking in a restaurant. If I own a restaurant, I want people to come in there and light, you know, Macanudos all day long while they're sitting in there. That's my business as a restaurant owner if I don't have a problem with that. Once again, we just are back to the same, some of the same points we made earlier, but, you know, it's not up to the general public to decide what and when business people can, how and when business people can run their business. Go ahead, Chris.
And there's something that, and to finish up, and first off, I just want to say thank you to everyone here at WXNT for teaching me just an incredible amount, and for letting me have the chance to come on today and share my viewpoint and get this experience. It's been a great experience and a lot of fun, and I think I'm addicted now. But I want to finish on this note. It goes back to the smoking ban, the BMV closings, the education closings. One thing about those, it's that, you know, if we want services, then, you know, we need to. Whoa. Sorry, that scared me. We need to keep in mind, while we need to work for the common good of other citizens, we also need to keep it in mind the right of the individual person and their rights. Sorry to Scott, we can't get to you. Thank you very much to Andrew Lee, to Devin Scott, to Abdul especially, you know, to the promotion staff, to Tim Medland, you know, their mothers and fathers, my mothers and fathers. Thank you to my mom and dad. Especially
happy Mother's
mom.
Day again.
Yes,
absolutely.
Happy Mother's
thank you,
Day.
Chris.
Thank you very much, you guys, for coming in.
We enjoyed it, Chris. Thank
so,
you.
And that's all I have. You can hear me tomorrow, maybe, on Abdul in the morning. So make sure to tune in 5 days a week from 6 to 9 here on News Talk 14.